Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Thank you for who you are and all that you are to us. As we listen to your word today, ignite a fire in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you for eyes to see, minds to comprehend, ears to hear your word. This evening around the area of our circumstances. Thank you because your word today will bring light and understanding to us, because we will be simple to learn to hear a word in the name of Jesus. Let us see that. How are you all? So let's get into the word. We started a series called what? How's it been? I hope you've been enjoying yourself. If we all have the fear of God, we'll meet at one junction. Those of us that have the fear of God, there's one place we finally used to meet. He had been doing this program for years. Wonderful man of God, something that blesses the whole of Africa. I think the biggest worship program or gathering, if I'm not mistaken. Is it gathering? The experience. Biggest gathering, right? Yet. Let me say worship program, because when I think of Pastor Christian's crusade, I don't know if it's like that or so. Are we together? In Africa. And we've all known the experience, right, over the years. And a lot of times people anticipate the program. So it's been a blessing over the years. And he was saying, Lily, he said, if they wear a ring. Now, it's the truth. He said, you know, some of you think you are losers because you are Africans. Worst of it, you are not Macaudians. So you think you are a loser. And anything a man who lives in diaspora does is okay. Especially when the color of their skin is fair. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So you guys just think it's okay. So you see, you can question someone in Africa when they dress in a certain way. But you won't question them there when you see certain things. You just feel God will understand. Because at least their English is good, so God should understand. You know? And he said it out loud. He said he can't bear seeing a young man putting on earring that is meant for women. He said the worst of it is that they put it on their 2 ears. Like you put on 1 ear. I'm not saying that one is righteous. So we are trying to figure out that one. We now see another one on your 2nd ear. Now you look completely like Ngozi. You know? And most of it, some of them now plait their hair and join. They plait their hair. It's just as if a woman is seeing another woman. You know, I don't know. Maybe some of you like it. I can't even see some of you looking like it. Some of you are vexing as I'm saying it. Like Sarah is not looking excited. It's like she likes that kind of style. Amen? It's as if you are seeing another woman looking at you. Are we together? And the worst of it is that you now will see preachers lately. We're managing that thing with members, and we're saying we're going to disciple those members. Well, only for us to turn and see preachers and say, hey, members were planning discipleship for. It has entered preachers. And you know, the funny thing in this world is that most people feel justified when people clap for them that what they are doing is okay. The worst thing that can happen to you is that somebody is just emotionally guiding you. He's not saying the truth to you. That's the worst thing that can happen to anybody. Remember when you were 16, you'll soon be 45. If we keep on feeding you with lies, we are destroying you. You see, my life is like this. I made sure my life, because I don't have time to waste my life. And you guys get what I'm trying to say? As when it's truth, it must just flow. Whether I'm losing 50 billion, I don't care. It's just a number. Even though I don't mind to have it. Alright? Are you guys hear what I'm trying to say? Alright? So, sometimes when people clap for us when we're doing foolish things, we feel justified before ourselves and before God. Meanwhile, that thing is wrong. Can you be confident enough to beyond the applause of men, tell yourself that something is wrong and stand by it? Many people are not like that. In fact, they get consoled by the applause of men, the false consolations of men that comes through their applause. Oh, you are okay, you are doing well, you are doing well, when you know you are not doing well. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You just want to do your mind. If we allow all of you to do your mind from Adam till today, some of you would have died. If we allow you to do your mind, thank God for your parents, your teachers, wherever you know you are interfaced by anybody that tutored you, to your pastor. If we had allowed you to do all that was in your mind, you think you'd be alive? Pastor, how will I have died? I'm not dying. Some would have died. Do you know how many people we've counseled? And I watched my spiritual father counsel when I was growing up. Looking so young. Looking wonderful. I remember one time, years ago, HIV and AIDS, and I looked at the person, I looked at the lady, I looked at the guy. I was like, Jesus Christ, these people look too innocent and young for this kind of suffering yet. And it's not like God cannot heal them. They can't even receive healing because they've condemned themselves. When they come for counseling, most of them, the way they talk about themselves, because you just know that is that when they cry alone, only cry, you know, just so then you start crying. And you are trying to make them understand Jesus can heal you. They just think you are trying to make them feel happy for a while. They don't believe it. And you see, most people who find themselves in situations like that, they get themselves condemned by Satan. Satan begins to condemn them, and you don't really catch them. Kukuma Sheram. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. So make up their mind to share. Have you heard stories that they caught some people cutting their hands and putting into food? But you've not heard stories like that. It seems sounds like Nollywood, right? Somebody cut a hand and put it like this inside food. Let people eat and have what she has. You see that if your hope is in this world, you have all men woes. So imagine now you don't like to cook. You went and sat down and the blood was just on the top. Barash. Barash, barash. In fact, they did not put you the soup, but you emphasized that that's the soup you want. I want okra. Give me okra. If I don't chop okra, I know if he rest. And they just fetch it wherever he is. Keep in your plates. And that's where you loom at the first. Just, and you jump. You see, that's why you have to learn working with the Holy Ghost. You just sit down. They'll just call you. You just say, I'm not eating again. You want to go back to the Holy Ghost, you don't go there. You don't know where he's saving you from. What is their spirituality? What did they do? You too much. Too much. You too much. You don't know life yet. It can never be too much. You know, some of you only pray fiery prayer in the night when you want to sleep. Because you know you close your eye. So you want to close your eye now and start praying and trusting God that you are protected. Every witch and wizard, when they come to my house, Father Lord, fire them, fire them, fire them. The Bible says arrows fly by day. Do you know that? So do you know how many times God has protected you from arrows by day? I heard a story of a woman that they kidnapped. I think I've said that story once. They kidnapped her. No, I said her friend. They kidnapped somebody else. And while they were going one chance in Abuja, they said the story happened around Ibadan to Lagos, that road. So they kidnapped the woman, and she was, when she got released, she was saying this testimony in church and saying people don't know how much God loves them, because probably they don't have all the things they want yet in manifestation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That she was in the hands of kidnappers, watching kidnappers contemplate to kidnap another woman. So the woman wanted to cross the road, and I said, we go carry her. One said, no, you can just leave her. She don't look like person who's supposed to carry her. So they were contemplating till they left that woman. Now, the woman would go back home and probably be saying God is not faithful, because what she has been trusting God for, he has not given her. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. But she didn't know that God just protected her from what? Arrows that fly by what? Now, what has been giving you the confidence to be moving every day 24/7 to go and see one man and woman said sometimes? Probably you're supposed to die one of those days. But somehow God kept you. Somehow, probably, people tried to, demonic forces tried to finish you, but somehow God kept you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because if you do the maths very well, God will not just protect you because you are living right. Alright? God will protect you because of who He is. His mercy is a function of who He is, not what we do. But a lot of times, we have to tap into that mercy. That's why I tell people who are not living right and are seeing the hand of God in their life, that somebody is praying for you. Somebody is praying for you. Either your mother, most times we believe is our mother, but your father too can be praying, isn't it? Your pastor, your cell leader, your HOD, someone is praying for you somewhere. The children of Israel, for instance, were acting so stupid, very stupid, yet there was fire by day. Fire by night, sorry. There was what? Cloud by day. Were they living right? Were they thinking well? God was giving them what? Fire by night and what? Cloud by day. That means there was provision for them. When God now delayed hunger, that means it is possible that God is working with you and hunger may be delayed. You know, God can allow hunger for a while because of what He's doing in your life. Because sometimes when people don't have food to eat, they cook even common food alone and don't get. If I don't get food, is this proof that God is not with me? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But meanwhile, these people who God parted Red Sea, are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? God parted Red Sea, their cloth was not fading because of the presence of God. God did a lot of wonders for them, yet they could not eat food. Hunger. Then, after I lay hands on the sick, they were healed. And now, I can't see food to eat. God is not faithful. Are you a joker? You lay hands on the sick. You came back. I want to thank God. I lay hands on the sick. They recover. Then one day, you say, God is not faithful. I've tried. Things are not working. What is not working? Did you lay hands on the sick and they recover? Is that not something working? Because of common food. Food. Say, God, where are you? Why me? You start asking him all the dirty questions. Most people seated here, is food that made them to have problem with God. Food. I know you say it's a lie, God. My mouth is not food. It all boils down to food. It's true. And God calls such a life foolishness. The rich man. That story, you know, many people don't know that they are like the rich man in the Bible. They think since then they did not say what the rich man said, they are justified. What did the rich man say at the end? Now my soul relax and eat. Some people, before they start making money, they won't say what the rich man said. I want to make money and in a way you say, I will just give. They enjoy myself. The rich man. I get one kind of money I want to make. Guy. Make I get that money, I go start to give for church. They don't know why I need to give first. I know I get what I did look for. I know what I'm aiming. Send 10 million like this, pastor will call me. Some will say, I want to have so much money so that I can help all my family members. Now you have 5,000, you cannot even send 1,000 for somebody in the family. You are proving to God that you will not give anybody. when you have plenty. Because he that is faithful in what? Is faithful in plenty. Some people are broke because God has seen them. When God has seen their heart, immediately the money, there's a chain reaction happening. The money flow from many people. When it gets to their turn, it just poof. There's no movement again. It never gets to anybody God wants to bless through them. It never gets to anything God wants to achieve through them. Anytime the money goes bam, 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 the machine will just spoil. It's not moving. Then you think God shall allow you to be rich. He can't make that mistake. His law says, he that is faithful in what? His word. God, I will say this to people, think it's a joke. Till you get to 50 years, you'll see that you are still poor and still thinking the way you are until you truly change your mindset. It's not a curse I'm speaking. I'm speaking fact to you. If you don't change the way you think, nothing will change about your life. Time does not change anybody. Time just keeps record of your life. That's all. Doesn't change anybody. Same thinking when you are 50 years, same experience. Are you all listening to me? So God has always been faithful. You know, I've seen people like that. As we pastor, we see a lot of characters. Because everything you are using to judge that God is faithful is mammon. Mammon. You can see people who, they don't think well. Sometimes people don't think well. A lot of times. You have been equipped. You have what can bring about money, but the money is not yet there. You are looking for money. You are thinking that everything you have is useless because you are not seeing the money yet. There are some things that happen in your life right now that should make you to start dancing and rejoicing. In fact, I have this opinion that some people, I don't think this is known in the church so much. I think some people don't know that dancing is part of prayer. I think some people think prayer is only so people don't think that dancing is part of prayer. Some people don't know that laughing is part of prayer. Some people don't know that moaning is not part of prayer. We don't know that it's not part of prayer. Even if you do it while you are praying, the record does not get to heaven. Because the only, now that doesn't mean God will condemn you, but you limit yourself from a lot of things. The Bible says, with joy we what? Not with angry faces. Not with serious faces, apostolic looking faces. Because there's such a thing now. The face of an apostle. The Bible says, with what? Joy. So I think some people should start mixing, you know, joy. With what? With what? Their prayer. To their prayer, I mean. When you are praying, if you don't feel like laughing, start laughing. When you feel like laughing, be laughing. That's cry. You know some cries don't believe. God, God, please. You know, you have prayed all the principles that the prophet taught you. The next thing that you're like, God, I beg, just do. I beg. Have you been there before? You're like, God, I beg. I don't pray everything. I don't talk as a king, as a priest. Do. I think people are in that shoe. Pray like a king. Speak like a king. Satan, you know, most times the reason you start crying because Satan is so cunning. He now puts one idea in your head. When you finish confessing, you now see the thing not working. Say, God, I beg. He will just give you an imagination. Have you been there before? You just see. You are praying for your mother who was sick. Do you understand? You are done speaking in faith, excited. You have laughed like that you want to just leave the prayer room. When you felt peace in your spirit. Satan will just give you the imagination will just be passing. You hold the imagination, could come back. Look at it for a while. You now lie down. It's not prayer of faith, that's now I know. It is response of unbelief. That's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, but they are powerful. We don't fight against that. That's there, Ephesians 6. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:4. It said we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and what? Subjecting ideologies that seems to want to what? Raise itself above the knowledge. Meaning every day of our life, Satan is trying to create an idea that will raise itself above what we are supposed to believe. You hear the word of God now, if you go back home, he's going to create an experience that wants what? Raise itself. Prophet said there's a mighty supply. If you observe, some people are not saying that thing again. They used to say it when they heard it the first time. Oh, there's a mighty supply. Their neighbor used to hear them, label sharp. But since Nebu became president, there's a... Thank you, Jesus Christ. Tell somebody there's a mighty supply. How do you feel about that? See, to see the mighty supply, you keep on saying it. There's a huge, mighty supply. You know, this thing is so much in me that when I went to marry my wife, her elder brother, their firstborn, they looked at me and asked me a question. When they saw how powerfully I entered there, yet how young I look and the big things I'm saying, I wanted to marry their last born. You know, people don't joke in last born. All eyes on the last born. And I came to take her away. So they asked me a sincere question. Firstly, they asked me how many members do I have first start. So they wanted to calculate the offering and know what will be my share. Do you understand? At all it will make like, you know. That was the first question. So I laughed. And I said, what does member have to do? You know, you have to ask your in-laws. Which kind of question is that? So, I still answer because I was being asked by in-laws. Do you understand? I say, give or take around, and I mentioned the number. Those that have gone, I added those who are around and those who have pastored that have gone from BSU. Do you understand? You, they are Greek. I added all the number. I call one big number. Boom! He said, okay. Has done his mass. At least she will fit everything to chop, man. You know. And the next question I had was, do you do anything outside pastoring? I do tech, but I said no. Purposely, I said it because the truth is that I'm a full-time minister. I choose to do these things because I want to do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the Holy Ghost laid it in my heart. Sometimes I can decide to do it because I have the time now. There's a time that I may not be able to do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so I did not answer that I do it. I said, well, I'm a full-time. So do not ask. So how can this thing be? You know the way we ask. Guess what my response was? I didn't care that I was in a wrong atmosphere. Not wrong atmosphere because there were devils there. My father was there. He doesn't understand this language that I'm about to say. All of them don't understand my language. It's a faith language. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Guess what I told all the people, over 30, 40, 50 people looking at me? I said, there's a mighty supply. People just look at me in the face. The video is there. There's a mighty supply. I said, okay. And I saw somebody looked at me and said, I said it. That means they've said it, that I'm that kind of person. They've done research. The next question, who is your spiritual father? I know they've made a lot of research about me. And people have told them what they don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I also, what brought spiritual fatherhood inside marriage now? I said, no problem. It was another strange woman that just asked the question. One strange woman. I can't remember her face today. But she's not the mother, the father. When I say strange, I don't mean demonic. I mean just strange. Because I've never seen her face before. Since I married today, I've seen her seen her face. So she just came once to ask me a question. He said she was a sent one, do you understand? And she said, who is your spiritual father? I said, he's late. I just felt like everybody should say, yeah. Guess what the next question was? Why have you not gotten another one? I say for marriage in my heart. And for marriage, now they talk to me like this. I know where I've passed. I know mountains I've climbed. And I've decided to settle here. I should not be looked down upon. So I said, if that is the reason, my voice started cracking. That time my father knew I'm serious. He remembered that voice. They now say, if she or not they, don't think this is the family. She's, like I say, she's a sent one, a strange woman. She now said, if you don't bring your spiritual father, don't come back to this house. I know you'll be shocked. They tell me this thing. I've been looking for a good opportunity to tell you this story. I think today is a good one. Because I'm already married, so I can tell you, say it now. And my wife is not ready to divorce me. See, witness, eyewitness, and ear witness, see him here. Pastor wanted to enter that place and scatter that place. They were embarrassing his prophets. But I saw Pastor just, in my heart, I was like, just good, our boy. We can't marry for this place. That's what I was just saying. He had not seen somebody question me like that in his life. So, you know. And when she said that, I was so shocked. I knew they had discussed me somewhere. She has asked some people and they gave her very wrong questions. And I'm taking the opportunity to tell some of you who are here, I'm a board, I'm not coming from anywhere. Because I know you have heard it. They will sit you down and tell you that, where is it coming from? You don't get where it is. I come from Marine World. With the way I teach you the word and I prayed for you and you see God, you are thinking of where I come from. No, it's Satan now. Jesus was asked a question about somebody performing the miraculous. They say we saw somebody showing the power of God in the name of God, blah, 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 blah. Jesus asked them, we can't have two masters. We can't be separated. How did he put the answer? The kingdom of God cannot be divided against itself. If he's doing it in the name of Jesus, then what is your business? In the name of Jesus, the sick are healed. In the name of Jesus, the word of God comes alive. But where will be the person? I understand people have the right to know those things, but don't victimize. Sometimes your enemies will just be looking for one problem to just finish you. A young man is in your town preaching the word of God for years, helping people to know their place in Christ. Your only problem is if you don't know his spiritual father, don't go to the church. And they are announcing it everywhere. You know, one time we had an experience, Pastor Peter was so mad. I said, boy, me, I didn't want to even be there. You are the one that caused the problem. Because if it is by my own choice, that would have never happened. But I said, let me allow what people like. That's the first time I had that kind of experience. So from henceforth, I will not allow anything people want. I'll do what I want. Because you see, as he's doing me, that's how God wants it, because I'm the leader. It's the truth. And they suggested, so I said, oh, go ahead, no problem, let's welcome young people. And one of these persons was so excited, he claimed God has spoken to him. We had discussed the meeting so well, just for him to go back home and tell Pastor Peter, sorry, the authority over my life said I should not come. Oh, I say, God, see, we just disgraced ourselves. The other colleague came, did well. I was like, oh. I told him, he said, no, Pastor, they are wicked people. They are wicked people. That's how they are. Sir, don't worry. We are going to do great things. I know. I will not worry. I am doing great things for the Lord. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I told him, I said, you people are the one that caused this. I was not part of all those things. You want it, I give you. They give you. I don't want to know who his spiritual father is or spiritual toy. I don't care. I just said, remove his name. Whew. Hallelujah to Jesus. Someone came one time, was watching us here, and just leave. He said, what? I said, sir, is there any problem? What? Did you know what I heard about you? As young as I am, what do you hear about me? They say in your church, you used to give prophetic word and collect money. I see. Me, like, that's like I'm even giving prophetic word. I used to give and collect money. He said, that's what I heard. That's why you are doing what you are doing. Your car, your life. I said, okay. Another time I heard that I'm into drugs, drug lord. drugs. My goodness, what I did not do as a barrack boy, I'm doing as a preacher. You know, I grew up, I saw gone. I saw bad things I did not do. But when I became a preacher, born again, I said, I am a Christian now. You know, it's so funny. It's that some things you hear, you just laugh. And move on. Human beings have funny way of thinking. In fact, one time we heard that our church is close to river. That's what somebody said. Why would I carry church to river? Where is no river in this Makurdi? Let it rain. You will see that everywhere is river in this Makurdi. We are surrounded by a river, a big, mighty river. You have seen what happened in your area lately, isn't it? Another heavy rain comes, some of you are almost scared, and you'll just be standing up and looking at the rain. See, the rain, there was a place I used to stay on campus. Those days, while I was a student, when rain is falling, nobody sleeps in the campus. We'll just be hearing gist everywhere. You don't need rice. Okay, thank God, you don't need to go down. Nobody used to sleep. In fact, if somebody says, I necessarily have to sleep, you even say, I beg, if you start, I beg, make you jam my door, I beg you, come. You want to sleep every day, you put your phone on top of your wardrobe. When it's rainy season, in fact, some people, it became their custom, whether it's rainy season or not rainy season, they just carry their phone on top of food. If you come this area, now where are you going to keep your phone? Please? On top of food. Then some people say, we are having church. You know, you have crazy, stupid ideologies. People just sit down, Satan will be thinking through them. And the funniest are those that will sit here, when they go back home, that's what we'll call the Olodo uprising. When they go back home, somebody will not tell them about their pastor. That's not true, not true. That's Olodo uprising. I've seen it on Facebook too. Of course, you, as an intelligent pastor that I am by God's grace and wise, I will never be part of that foolishness. I'm not coming to church again because I heard that pastor blah blah blah. We'll just close the door, boom, and continue. You know, years ago, a lady messaged me on Facebook. She said she heard about me. Guess what she said I was doing? That I used to do miracle, fake miracle alert, miracle money alert. Because those days, of course, we used to give space for the Holy Ghost to do things like that. I remember the first time on campus we had that experience of miracle money. You guys were there, right? The lady broke into tears. You know, we had quite some experiences. You know, some people don't believe in it. Well, I believe in your not believing in it. That settles it. Are we together? And some of you are expecting me to explain why I should believe in miracle money. Like, it is explainable to say somebody opened the mouth of a fish and somebody. What is the explanation there? You just move on. It's Jesus that did it. There are some things Jesus would do. It's called miracle. You can't explain it. It is when you attempt to explain that you start sounding stupid. You know, I heard somebody say, there is nothing like miracle money. Hear the explanation. This is justification. He said, even Peter, when Peter went to the mouth of fish and removed money, he walked. That walking to the mouth of a fish and putting hook was work. And when he put the hook, he caught the fish. He had something to do. And while he was doing the thing, money came. People stood up. I said, oh my God. I'm tempted to say what I just said, but I can't say for God's people. Are we together? I thought about it. You want to explain miracle? Miracle where they tire Jesus. Then you want to explain. If you are in church and got a lot in your account, we turn it to the bank. That's robbery. That's robbery. Did anybody complain from the bank? Is it a coincidence that when we say, let money start raining now, you got their life? Is it a coincidence? I like that kind of coincidence. Somebody said, no, now coincidence, as the pastor just raised a 90 money, just come, that coincidence. If you are that kind of person that everything you see God do, you are trying to just explain, you are in trouble. Be used to miracles. You will see them often. Because you must be expectant of them to see them. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. If you don't have expectations to see miracles, you will not see miracles. Let me give you some example. While I was on campus, was this. The first time I saw miracle money experience in my life, personally, was when, before even the Mama Tia experience and other people in the ministry, she loved me. One of the reasons she loved me is because before I started marrying, before I married her, God did a miracle money, miracle in her life. Imagine you've not married somebody, say, lift your phone, money enter. Is it when you marry that money will not come? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So those days, all of my boys was very hungry. There was nothing to eat. So he came to me. And while we're talking, he was complaining that the mom was supposed to send, but the mom had not said, but she's promising that before, and that he does not have anything in the house. He was almost crying. So I had my last 200 naira, but I have something that I can eat, of course, in the house. Last 200 naira, 200 naira, last one. So when I preach for him and advise him, the Holy Ghost said, is that just all you do? What if he died before he went? So I moved him. 200. As I gave him, he shouted, those days 200 means something. If you sit in Mama to put with 200 and they put you something. Do you know I ate food in this town 15 naira? You don't believe it? 15 naira? They'll put aku and put you soup. Then when you eat with fish, it's close to 100 naira. 100 naira plus pure water, 110. You don't believe what I'm saying? When I was paying the money, I was shocked. I just came from Kaduna. So when we're done eating with my uncle, I said, I just give 500. I said, you give me. And I said, is there change? My uncle started laughing. He said, there's change. 380. Is it 380 or 480? 380, yes. I said, there's 380. Say yes. 390, sorry. I said, okay. So what of the fish? He said, you've paid for everything. I said, are you serious? Is this food okay? Is it real food? He said yes. Because where I came from is a lie. Aku was even scarce in the first place. If you see people eating aku, you just admire them. How's this guy eating aku in Kaduna? Wow. They are blessed. I grew up seeing where they put aku in nylon in Mami Market. Roll it, it's always white. Just see them, just keep them at the front, 1-3 like that. It will be there for like 1 week. They are selling it. Somebody will just come buy like four. And it was not a problem. My tea is shaking her head. Aku used to stay 1 week and it doesn't mean it has expired. She thinks it expires because she does not eat aku. It does not expire. There's another thing that does not expire. Should we tell them? Eba. You don't know. You did not go to school. Eba does not expire. You just put it in the cooler and go. Travel and come back. 2 days, just open it. All you need to do is warm your soup. And we move. The only thing is that it will sweat very well. This thing will. Thing will just be fresh looking at you and say, welcome back. Continue. Hallelujah, Jesus. I ate it in this town. So when I gave that boy my last 200 that day, he was so excited. Your father gave me 200. Oh, he jumped and hugged me and moved to eat. In fact, he did not say he will only eat. He said he's going to buy some things that will aid his cooking. You know, young people are funny. He had even yam and he wanted to buy some things to eat. I just had literal yam. Was it two or three of it I had in my kitchen and was able to give him, you know, what I had in my hand. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he was so happy. He was so blessed. He felt so blessed. Immediately I gave this boy and he was going. And I went back to my room thanking the Lord that I was privileged to do such a thing. Now I'm trusting him to do something for me. Well, I truly didn't even expect anything that day. I didn't expect God to do anything that day. I just felt like it's the life of a Christian. At least I'm not dying. I'm not going anywhere. Nobody can invite me. I will just be in this house like this. See you, I have money. Do you understand? My business is across the road. I was living behind Varsity T2. Just cross the road, enter school, cross the road, come back. Where else am I going to again? As I was opening my Bible, same Bible. I hope you know it is the same Bible. So the Bible can testify. As I was opening my Bible, money. Yeah, some of you are saying the Bible never old. They just patch it for me. Somebody, I think it's Otis that did that. She arranged it for me. Very old Bible, you see, some of you. As I opened my Bible, new 200 naira notes. So I looked at it. I squeezed my face. There is no way 200 naira notes can be. There's a way you will not have money that you cannot forget money. I know some of you say you forget that. I know what I'm telling you. I did not have any money. How did I forget that money? I can never leave $200 notes in my Bible. Yeah. I used to read that Bible every time. Every day. Every morning and evening. No relationship, no problem, nothing. I was just reading my Bible. So how will I not see that money in the Bible? So I said, of course, as I'm giving now, let me just face my God. As I opened the Bible, I saw the money. I just went outside. I tried calling me, I already gone. I said, did I give you the money? He said, yes, sir. Are you sure? Let me see the money. He said, sir, see it here. I said, okay, you can go. As I stepped into my room again, the presence of God enveloped me so strong, I couldn't walk. I had to kneel down. I started crying and praying. It was so strong. That was a personal experience, so people will not really believe it. Until when? Let me even share one again. You would think I'm stupid. I was supposed to travel the next day to Kaduna. And there were over 20 people that had used the ATM. Remember that ATM? I don't know if it still exists. As you enter first gate, you want to turn towards that technical. Okay. Is it Access Bank? I don't know. Yes, that's for you. Okay. Are you sure? The main road, though. Huh? I think it's Sterling Bank. Because somehow red and something. Yeah, I think it's Sterling. That access is inside now if you are going forward. No, I mean you enter school like this and you are going straight. You don't enter that shortcut by... You go straight like you are going to political sciences. Uh-huh. Okay. So guess what happened? Over 20 people. You know those days people used to have... I don't know if they have it now. Long line to withdraw. And people tried. It was not working. Even though it was not working, people still wanted to try their card. Confirm it was not working. It was my turn. The thing now wrote that, oops. Wait. I stood there. I must travel tomorrow. But I've been praying in tongues before I got there. Immediately I was praying in tongues. Then I said, don't put that. It will swallow your card. People were just saying blessed things. I just put the thing close to the mouth. I still was praying in tongues. But I didn't care who the hell thing. I'm not the more. And your hands waiting beside me. As I took the thing came alive. So still nobody believed because it felt like it's just a network glitch. Do you understand? It just came out. But if I put it now, you know those things? It will just deceive you and smile. When you just put it, just bloop. You now go inside, it will say, go to your bank. Oh my God. But I put it because I know I must travel. I am supposed to. We had arranged for a meeting with my brothers. We all were in different states. So we wanted to go back for more like a reunion. And I can't miss that thing. In fact, they couldn't wait. They have been hearing Chatons. Where are you coming? Chatons. That was my nickname. Because they say when I pray, I used to call Chatons very well. And I spoke to the ATM. I said, in the name of Jesus, I want my money. I want to withdraw. Was it 4K or 5K? And it was transport money and eating money. Like I would eat on the road. Those days, Kaduna. You know, you don't know what is happening to this country till we tell you some story. One time I heard my wife tell me about what they bought by Gary. I was shocked because I remember it was like a movie. I was watching when I used to go to Urugu to buy Gary. You put like 2 paint. Just give us chicken money. Paint, oh. How much did they say a paint of Gary now? Huh? Huh? I can't really remember the first amount I bought paint of Gary because I remember those days I used to have people who send me curry from the village. My grandmother and the rest. But I remember I bought curry once, 250 for paint. 250 naira. I bought egg. That one is, I can tell you the history of egg. I don't use to joke with egg. No matter how poor I am, I must buy egg. I bought egg when it was 15 naira. Per egg. Do you know that? Some of you think we're lying now. I bought half. We used to buy half this thing of egg, 250, full 500. Oga put half, and then they finish full. Then there are some people that will call you, Oga, come my side, 235 naira. In this Uruku market. Yes. You wouldn't believe it, but it's the truth. I spoke to that ATM, back to my story. It vomited the money. Everybody looked at me. People that were there. That's how I just carried my aura and was going. Those days, we used to win members by experience. Just go somewhere, display the anointing. I remember a young man came for counseling, a young pastor. While we were walking, I said, "That's your member." He looked at me. I said, "Go and evangelize with the person." So I left him. I just wanted to even leave him, but I heard God telling me that's his member. He was a fellowship head too on campus. Do you know that guy became his second in command, the most strongest leader he has today? Anytime we talk, he would remind me, "Sir, you still remember?" I said, "How will I forget? He's the person you told me was my member." So there are a lot of experiences, though. I just said this to make people understand miracles are real. I've seen God draw somebody's leg. They draw the leg. I will not try to make it sound intelligent. Did God draw the leg? The leg. You know the way they draw somebody's leg when it's spinning. God draw the leg. The leg long. I have seen it through my life. The person is still alive. The video evidence. There's one time they did testimony. The person is alive. Even the person changed mind. The video is there. You don't know why I say even if the person changed mind. The Lord will give you understanding. The video is there. Life and night. What is happening? They are drawing my leg. This is the God we serve. Are you listening to me? We've seen the hand of God so much to do. That's why some of us, when we talk, we think we don't have sense. I can be sitting, we are sitting with our spiritual father, and he said, "Somebody just told us somebody has SS, and let us change it." Not more emotionality, let's change it to AA. My brothers would just bow their heads. This is the only thing we used to hear those days, on strings. You just see somebody playing strings. And we'll pray in the spirit, and the next day we'll hear a report that somebody is back to me. So how can I live in such an atmosphere and come and doubt miracles? I remember we want to do official meeting in Zion Ministry those days. Official meeting, we'll gather in somebody's house every Monday. We don't care whether your father permits us or not. We are gathering and you must cook. We were in Sister Esther's house. She called me today. I'm sure she's watching. I'm going to watch. Call her after, immediately after service. We were in her house. Esther. She was in Kotoku Barracks. I was there with Micah, Zelf, Edward, Tuku. We were there together. We started praying in the spirit. Just closing after we have finished talking about what God is doing and how we should, you know, facilitate to allow God to do it better. Just holding our hands to say the closing prayer. And I think I was the one that led that song, because I lead songs most times. So they said I should lead the song. As we just led the song, the Holy Ghost embraced that atmosphere so strong that everybody started crying. Before you know, literally smoke was rising. Literal smoke was rising. We saw oil falling from people's hair. Oil falling from people's head. I don't know how to explain that. Somebody will say, "Is it that God came up for oil?" I don't know. But did I see it? Yes. Then I remember to go, "Angel! Angel! Hey!" He jumped. We rushed and held him. But who saw the angel? Another person saw me. I did not see. I can't lie. I truly did not see. When there's an angel, I was like, "God, yeah, I don't know. Can I see that angel?" He saw it. Our consolation was that what we experienced, we did not experience. But at least I would have preferred to still see each other. Even that experience, we experienced. Such a beautiful experience. We went back home around 2 to 11 p.m. for a closing prayer that started around 6 p.m. Parents of the lady were waiting outside for the meeting to finish. They couldn't come because they saw how God was strong in the atmosphere. And only so good before God works for us. It was so evident. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why when we talk about miracles, we don't say it with any form of apology. Are you listening to me? We have spoken to things literally. Do this in the name of Jesus. He listens and obeys. I've seen it. Years ago, I was teaching on this. Pastor Benson is still here with us. He's serving in the ministry. Went and carried his dead laptop and spoke to it. It came alive. Some of you, if you are, if years, you can still remember that testimony. Laptop suffered me for years, for months, until one day I came to church. I needed a laptop. I couldn't buy a new one. Acer. It was the one that recently this boy spoiled. Miracle. Miracle spoiled what the miracle God did. God. I gave him his project in 1 week. Miracle could not be by name, by doing. I got too offended. The keys were not working. So offended. My sister gave me the laptop because she does not like it. I know. In the name of Jesus, I just hit the laptop. As I hit the laptop, I pressed the key. It started working. You know, the devil told me, now cause you hit her. Now something shake. I told the devil I lie. Now the name of Jesus. You know, Satan is very stupid, eh? He wants to make you feel as if everything is just a real name. That's why he easily gives birth to atheists. Just want them to understand that things just happen. Nobody causes it to happen. I told Satan, you are lying. It's God that did it. I have a friend, Captain Zev, is a military man. We're going to church one day, mango just fell on the ground. Boom! And he has been telling me he was hungry and wondering if he can unplug the mango. But there's this wicked Baba. God bless his soul. Not wicked, but those days he used to show us some wickedness. Alright? He's late. But the man does not want anybody to touch that mango. He's like a family mango or something. Even when he falls to the ground, you generally pick it when he's around. You just come, huh? So that day he was not around. He was far in charge of army training school. He's a security man in charge. And the mango just fell. As we were passing, we just went, boom! He just said like that. He said, now tell me that it is not God that did this thing. Who can prove to me in this world that it's not God? Is it a coincidence that I just said I'm hungry and I wish mango would fall? And now I'm seeing mango on the ground. God is feeling. So I'm saying there's nobody in this world that can convince me. Nobody that can convince me that it's not God that did this. You are praying about something, God did it. You are now wondering if it's just a regular thing that happened. Like most time people come to me with visions. I dreamt that. I will now ask them, what are you struggling to believe in God, accepting God? What is God telling you to do that you are wondering whether you should not do or do? You know, that God does not give visionless vision. Your dream has a connection with your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I will now ask them finally, what is somebody advising you away from that you are refusing? If you think so deeply, God is speaking to you. Daniel did not understand his dream. Sometimes people say, I had funny dreams, I could not understand, blah, blah, blah. My spiritual father told me, he said, no dream is useless. Every dream has a meaning. The only problem is that Satan tries to alter that dream by making you confused sometimes. Daniel, for instance, he said, the visions of my head, right, troubled me. It don't mean that Daniel just sat down, the thing started troubling him, boom, 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 boom. Mm-mm. Daniel allowed it to trouble him. When he had the vision, he didn't stop there. He went into research. That's why the vision was troubling him. He wanted to understand the meaning of what? The vision. Sometimes when God gives you an experience, a vision, he will not give you the complete vision because he wants to see your desire to see that thing come to pass. He wants diligent people. The rewarder of them that what? Them that what? He wants to see diligence. That's why you have the vision in part yet. Doesn't mean you will not understand it in full, but he wants to see your commitment to seeing that vision happens. And that is why you don't joke with visions. Just a vision that looked like a casual one was what saved the children of Israel that had been in captivity for several years. Several years through Daniel. It looked like a casual vision. He was confused. The vision of my head troubled me. He didn't understand. Yes, he didn't just, you know. And Daniel understood very well because, you see, God had already seen some kind of things happening on the inside of Daniel. He was not comfortable with what was happening in Babylon any longer. He knew that the time had reached. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He knew, no. God's people are not supposed to be under captivity. He already was getting worried in his heart. Burdened in his heart. He wanted this yoke of bondage to be removed from God's people, even though he had quite some freedom there because he was top class, he was intelligent, But he wanted to see God's people liberated. For him, just having what to eat and drink was not enough. He wanted God's people to have their rightful place. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that is why when the vision came, he was not confused, because he already had a burden in his heart. And that vision was what liberated a whole generation of people. Tell somebody, have big dreams. Look at everyone in their face and say, have big dreams. Dreams that can shift culture. Dream that can change your family. Dream that can change this country. Don't just think of what to eat and drink. In the name of Jesus, have something bigger than you. That it will take only God to get it done. And that is the word of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so where am I? I think I've done digging past the surface, right? Huh? Have I done that? I've done in vain they worship me, I've explained that. I've done the leaking roof. Alright, so the next part is the young people are not rebels. They are uncovered. That's the next subtopic. I know you are wondering what this pastor said. Just write it and follow me. Now, bring the leaking roof to this generation. So that leaking roof is parable. Let's try to factor it in this generation, isn't it? Look at our young people today. Caught in immorality, drowning in addiction, chained to pornography, cycling through habits they hate. And what does the church typically conclude? That they are rebellious, that they don't care, that they love the world. That's the conclusion of the church. And sometimes I see how people say that with so much pain in their face. I wonder whether that's sincere pain, because I know it's truly because they truly don't understand what Jesus has done for us. Are we together? Alright, so the conclusion a lot of times is that they hate the Lord, they love the world, because we are not seeing it from need. We are seeing it from what? Lack. Now, but look again, honestly, many of them are expressing the best that they can. Have you seen sincere people who left the Lord? Huh? Talk to me, church. Well, you probably are the one trying to leave the Lord right now. But we have seen sincere people who love the Lord. Somehow you are caught in between. Sometimes you just wonder, is this life what between God? Not like you don't want to pursue God, but God, the way you love worldly things. If the pastor knows the kind of person that I am, will he still want to be my pastor? Hallelujah to Jesus. Just so that you know, we already know. That's why we teach what we teach. That's why you see that anytime we teach here on Tuesday and on Sunday, you don't escape this bullet. You hardly can, it will shoot you. You want me to get me for this service? Hallelujah to Jesus. Now they have Christian's name. Alright? Abigail, Agatha, Vero, Debbie, Betty, Sarah, not Ochen, John, Samuel, but Lobby, is there Ochen? Owecho, no. Tebe, no. Jude, Matthew. But these are good names in Team Bible. Alright. Now they grew up in church, they have Christian names. In fact, some of them are pastors' children. Isn't it? Many of them genuinely love the Lord. And that is precisely what makes their bondage so confusing to them. Because they love the Lord. But why me? Why is this happening to me? You know, Paul somehow was in that situation. Can you remember? Paul said, I speak to them who have the law, who know the law, who know the law, who know the law. Okay. Thank God for grace. That's a lot of business. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So if you want me to talk to you about your business, you come close. Let's talk about it. Because me to have a business, it is your life. And it's very difficult to do. All right. So let's continue, right? What did I want to say? Remind me. Huh? The law, isn't it? Now, we established a particular part of scripture that says, they worship me, or in vain do they worship me, because they take as what? Doctrines, the teachings of men. Let's quote that scripture together. So you see something. Matthew what? 15:9. And in vain they what? Worship me. Why is their worship in vain? Because they are teaching us doctrine, the commandments. Let's have it in the NLT so that we expatiate on the commandments here. Because they are teaching us doctrines, the NLT. Okay, the worship is fast. That's the problem I have with NLT, that word. Do you know what it means? It's vain now. That's it. For they replace God's commands with their own man-made teaching. So why is worship vain? Why is it vain? Because the people are what? Replacing what? God's command with their what? Own man-made. Now remember what we talked about last Sunday, assumptions, right? You probably felt like the leaking roof will be solved by your assumed remedy, isn't it? Huh? And of course, after a while, you found out that water, it seems as if water was so powerful, because over years, what you thought was solving a problem was not doing anything. And water kept entering and the problem became quite severe. I could get what I'm trying to say? And destroy something in your house, probably. So, assumption is the worst form of knowledge. I thought. I don't expect any of you here to be thinking like that. I thought it would work. I thought. You should know. Are you listening to me? You should know it will work. You should know it will not work. Somebody can die on assumption. Yeah, we can do somebody on assumption. I thought I was supposed to give them paracetamol. I don't know why I give them this thing for drug for cancer. So you inject somebody that is not suffering with cancer, what you are supposed to give is just paracetamol. Trouble. So I thought the colorhead was the same. Oh my God, it's not. The person is dying. So assumption is the worst form of knowledge, and God does not want us to assume. That's why He gave us His Holy Ghost, so that there are no assumptions. And of course, the product or the reason for why we are filled with the Holy Ghost is so that we receive the purchased possession. But streamlined to this particular topic I'm talking about right now, it is so that we have the mind of Christ. Verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2. So you see, God wants us to have His mind. That's why He gave us what? The Holy Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that there is no room for what? Assumption. So you got to have an expectation that I can know everything God knows, or I can know everything God wants me to know. Alright? And everything God wants you to know is His Word, is Him. God is Himself, is His Word. So if I have the Holy Spirit, who knows the heart of a man but? Huh? 1 Corinthians 2, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? Who knows the heart of God but the... Now we, you, all of us have what? Received the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we will what? Know the things that God has what? Freely given unto us. You see that? Because I have the Holy Spirit of God, I know the mind of Christ. And I have the mind of Christ. Are we together? So go back to where we were. The reason why the worship was in vain was because they are assuming forward true doctrine, the what? The mere commands and false doctrines of men. Oh, beautiful. But funny enough, false doctrines still equivalent to what? Lies. We call it false doctrine, but they are lies. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What do I mean? This is as effective as this. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What this will do, this will do. If false doctrine can cause Satan to destroy your life, sorry, lies can cause Satan to what? Destroy your life also. He's the father of what? All lies. This is a subset of lies. False doctrine. It's just a religious way of calling it lies. Are we together? Now, in Romans 7:1, God's people assumed for sound doctrine a false doctrine. So Brother Paul, who is now an apostle, says, "Oh, do you not know, brethren? For I speak to those who know the Lord. I speak to those who know the Lord. I speak to them who know the Lord." He said, "I speak to them who what? Know the Lord." All right. Now, I want you to check something for me very fast. Christ is the end of the law. Check it for me. Romans what? There's another one around Galatians and the rest. But let's see Romans 10 for. Romans what? Be sure. 10 what? Let's read it together. For Christ is what? For righteousness to everyone who what? So when Christ finds expression, the law should what? End. Its function should end. Why? Because the law did not come to make anyone righteous. The purpose of the law is to show the sinner how sinful he is, not to solve the sin problem. Let's say it together. I want to go. The purpose of the law is to show the sinner how sinful he is, not to solve the sin's problem. You get what I'm trying to say? That was the purpose of the law. Let's see it in scripture. Paul said it a lot of times in Romans 7, but let's see it in 2 Timothy where he was teaching his boy Timothy. Alright? That's 2 Timothy what and what? 1 Timothy 1 and 9. Let's see it together. I want everyone to read. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Are you seeing that? But for what? The lawless. The what? For the what? For what? For what? And what? For what? And what? For what? Yes, Boko Haram is made for all of these guys. Let's see it in the NLT's rendition. But they were not made for people who do what is right. Right. They are for people who are what? Disobedient. Are you seeing that? And what? Rebellion. Who are what? Who are what? Who consider what? And defy what? Who murder they are? And what? Now when Moses saw all of these things, he wrote the law for them. And of course when angels saw this, they gave them law. That's why Paul said laws that were given by angels. Because angels were in charge and they had to give laws. Are we together? But the law did not come to solve the sin's problem. But human beings assumed that the law came to solve the sin problem. If you are in sin, the law came to tell you that's a sin, but not to solve the problem. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He wants you to know that's a sin. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's why Jesus said to us in Romans 8:3, which is a build-up of Romans 7, Jesus said to us through Apostle Paul, he said, what the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh, Jesus did. What did he do? He defeated sin, even sin. And in verse 1 of the same part of scripture, media, very fast, Jesus told us that the reason why we can now live a righteous life, is because we are not what? We are not known after the flesh, but after what? What stopped the people from obeying the law? The power of the flesh, isn't it? We as Christians in Christ, we don't live after the flesh. We are not known after the flesh. We are known after the... Alright? So there is no limitation for us. That's why Paul said in verse 5, when you set your heart on the things of the flesh, you end up fleshy. you set your heart on the things of spirit, you end up spiritual. Then he said to be carnally minded is what? Yeah. But to be spiritually minded, meaning in your mind, if you see yourself as a spirit man, that's what it means there. In your mind, if you see yourself as a fleshy man, that's what it means there. If you see yourself as flesh, or you see yourself from the lenses of the flesh, you define yourself from the lenses of flesh, you will definitely sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And of course, it will end in death. He said, but a man who sees himself through the lenses of Christ to be spiritually minded will begin to experience the life, true life of God, and end up in peace. Shalom, shalom. Peace on every side. Because of course, a man who is walking righteously would not give any place to the devil. Like Paul warned us, he said, give no foothold to the devil. But a man who breaks the edge through sin, what will happen? The serpent will what? Strike. Are we together? So is it because we have a consciousness of the spirit, we don't walk after the flesh? That is why the Bible, speaking in verse 1 of Romans 8, he said, there is now no condemnation, no probability of condemnation to them who are in what? Christ Jesus. I added probability of condemnation there. That means you will never find a day to condemn them. There will be no day that they will be condemned. It is not possible. Why? They've forgotten the flesh. They are walking after the order of the spirit. Alright? And it says in verse 2, for the law of spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, so we have seen it that Christ came to end the law. Because somehow the purpose of the law was defeated. He came to just show the sinner how sinful he is, not to what? Solve the sin's problem. But Satan succeeded in making sure that the religious folks in those days were trying to use the law to what? Solve the sin's problem. So the only thing that they could become were hypocrites. They looked like they were not doing it, but indoors they were doing it. And that's why a lot of times Jesus called them hypocrites, because when he brought truth, they rejected truth because they felt like they have the standard. It is called Torah. Alright? A standard in Hebrew. And their righteousness, the name for that righteousness, I think I did it years ago. I don't know if I'm saying the right thing now, but in case it goes out there and I'm saying the wrong thing, just know that I knew the right thing. There was Zedek. Can you remember? And the other one was what? This is my student of the word. I'm supposed to remember this thing. But I think there was one. Okay. I think Zedek is the right word. But one of it means to meet up a standard. The second one means to flow from a standard. Are we together? That means you're already in the standard and you're finding expression from the standard. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So, for them, they were trying to meet up to the law standard. And that was wrong. So they could never reach because they did not have what it takes. Remember what Paul said in Romans 7 verse... let's see from verse 13. Romans 7 from verse 13, very, very fast. So what we just quoted was 1 Timothy what? 1:9. Alright, so we're seeing Romans... Alright. Has then what is good become dead to me, Paul is... critically thinking here while advising them. He says, certainly not. Meaning the law none that is good, has it become dead unto me? And Paul said, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. He said, but sin, that it may appear what? Sin was what? Producing death in me through what is good. Alright? And they caused it for themselves. Don't think that God just brought a problem to them. So the purpose of the law was simple. What Paul just said here, sin, that it may appear as what? Sin. Shaking up. Do you get what I'm trying to explain here? Should I underline this screen? Maybe one day I will have to have that kind of Prophet Kobus board so that we'll be underlining them. Are we together? Is it but sin that sin may appear as sin? The same thing we read here in 1 Timothy 1 and 9. It's not 7, no. Be careful how you see. It is 9. But sin, that it may appear as what? Sin. Was now producing death in me. Paul is so intelligent. What is good? A standard. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. It's now producing. But the purpose is that sin should appear as sin. That's the purpose of the law. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But you see this thing now, Satan is now using it to produce death in me. Because they are trying to meet up to a standard that they didn't have capacity for. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not. They did not have what it takes to not do those things. That's why I said sin, the law came to just show them how sinful they are. So that sin may appear as sin. That's the purpose of the law. But Satan went ahead and started making the people get religious by the law. The law started killing them because they were trying to meet up to a standard they were not capacitated for. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly simple. So what Satan does is this: you see in that jersey, you did that, you are useless. All of us here would have had that first share of Satan's ministry. You are the most stupid person. But if this is God's will, he would have not said in 1 John 2, if your heart — he didn't even call Satan's name, he just said, anything in your heart that condemns you, know that I am greater than your heart. You see, if your heart condemns you, God is what? Greater than your heart. And that's part of scripture. Let's hit the nail on the head. For we know that the law is what? Spiritual. Paul speaking to them. You see, but I, Paul, am sold under the nature of what? Sin and death. Now, Paul is telling a people a story that he used to live by their own principles. Alright, the Pharisees. Paul is trying to make them understand. He said, when I was like you. Basically, he said, the law. I speak to them that know the law. He's not talking to everybody in those days. He was speaking just like it can apply today, right? If we're trying to be legalistic. But originally, Paul was speaking to a people who were legalistic. They know the law. Alright? That's the context. Anything you want to understand, understand it in the light of verse 1. Are you guys hear what I'm trying to say? Now, he said, now Paul, using himself as an example, when I was like you — let me paraphrase it so that you understand. He's like, when I was like you, we know — you see, the word there is we. He's telling them, we know that the law is what? Spiritual. He said, but I — maybe he didn't want to add them that here — I am carnal. I am sold under the nature of sin and death. Alright? Next part of scripture. He then says, in verse 15, he said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. You are just in a realm where you are confused. That's what I was trying to explain before. I said, let me just break this before I continue the explanation. A child is in church, so confused, yet in a religious atmosphere. She has to bow down and do like this and cry to the Lord, but all she wants is the bad life out there, because that's the only nature of finding expression. They may be pouring smoke and anointing oil on her head, on his head, but the only thing he's sticking is dirty things. Because anointing oil does not change your nature. It is the understanding of his great and precious promises. Whether you drink it or rub it on your head, you cannot change. Whether you get dipped into water, you can't change. If you carry Bible and eat it, you will not change. If you put Bible under your pillow, a demon that knows what he's doing will still press you. Isn't that amazing that some of you have tried that thing and they still press you? It's an unschooled demon that will allow you to just prevail. But the one that have entered realms, that he knows that, not be by putting Bible, he knows the Bible. Not be to the sleep from Bible. The Bible is inside your head. He knows. Are you all listening to me? So you see, people with divided attention in church, what a major part of their life wants to explore the world. A very minor part of it knows that God is real and loves the Lord. So most times the major part always prevails against the minor part. Now, you would think it's their fault originally, but the church is only being religious and trying to meet a standard. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Like the Pharisees, they know the law says they should not do this, and they just want everybody, by all means, make sure you just do the law and make heaven. It sounds like a good thing, but it has become the reason why we have been subjected for many years in church. We're trying to meet up to a standard at all costs, even if it means crawling. God did so well on the cross for you to crawl into heaven. What he did was too much for you to crawl and make sure you enter heaven by your blood. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No matter what, it's not an easy road. He did not die for it not to be an easy road. He said, my yokes are what? My yoke is what? Easy. My burden is what? It is a very easy road. See, we must force ourselves to agree with what God is saying. A lot of times, our cultures, religious ideas, and even this life, our experiences will make us disbelieve God's word and start questioning it. Satan will take advantage of all of those factors and start making you question the word. That's why Jesus speaking, he said, do not take a thought. Maybe he didn't complete where you are not supposed to take the thought from. but I understand it from what he said there. He said, do not take a thought by asking me a question, how can these things be? Meaning you have taken a thought from Satan. If you ask God, God, how are you going to do it? Because we truly know the El Shaddai. Don't ask him how he will do it. Because he's the most multi-breasted one. Anywhere there's problem, he can enter that place and solve it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So you see people in church with divided attention. They love the Lord, but their whole nature, even though they know there's hellfire, so you see, the major part they use to keep them, and it doesn't last long, they will talk about hellfire. They will not say there's such a thing as lake of fire. So in case you think you survive hellfire, they will throw you into a bigger fire. So you see people shrinking in fear. And that's the only reason why they love the Lord, though. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Immediately that thought evaporates. They are in club. They are in parties. They are still doing the bad things they want to do. Still knowing in their head, but it's not alive in their consciousness that there is such a thing as hell and lake of fire. You see, that desire and the wrong nature is more powerful than any legalistic teaching. You can teach hellfire, teach lake of fire. If somebody still have the nature of sin, they still want to graciously sin and enter that lake of fire. Because you cannot stop people from entering into mud. It is in his nature. That's why you see a lot of sincere Christians crying in church. They love this God, though. They truly love this God. They wish God could see their heart, and he's seen it. You know, there was a song. I don't condemn the song, but I understand where the song came from. The first part, I love you forever, beautiful. The second part is where, when I hear it, sometimes I just smile. And that doesn't mean I'm condemning the song. Please, because now, if you condemn song, they'll come and write Oludo Uprising for your status. I'm not condemning. I just want to use it to explain something. Hina says something like, I make much mistakes sometimes, but I love you. Have you heard that part? I may miss the mark sometimes, but I love you. He's trying to make God understand that even when God sees him doing another thing, he's just so that it is him he has chosen. Now imagine you're asking a girl out, or you're in love with a girl, or you're in a relationship with a girl, you're telling her, if you see me kissing another girl, just know it is you that I love. Alright, that settles it. Are we together? And that's how it is in the realm of the spirit. No matter what you see happening, if you catch me one time telling you another girl, I love you, just know that the real love that you get her. So you see, because of all the bad experiences, we have settled down for less. Think about some women now. Some women will tell you, you know, mommy man cheat. As I'm talking now, some people are just, I just thought some people, because that's their thinking. You know, mommy man cheat. The truth is, if he didn't bring money, come house. If he's taking care of you, that's all. If he wants to cheat, he should not come and disrespect me with a woman. He should cheat far. But you can, man and cheating, you know, if you stop them, you know, fit. So some women, and that's become part of their syllabus. Because probably as they grow up, I'm sorry to say this, they even watch their parents, their father probably cheat on their mom. And not only father suffer this, maybe their mom too cheat on their father. All right, let's balance this thing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And of course, the information is just within. It doesn't go out. And I'm not saying you should come and tell me, but it's the truth. Watch people who they respect. You know, today I was listening to a lady, and she was telling me some story that really broke my heart. She's lost her father. You know, I used to know her many years ago. And she called me to tell me good news about getting married. But she wanted me to know some things that happened around her. Someone was being so nice to her, told her to come to this certain state. He was going to tell his sister to accommodate her so that she can, you know, she's in this cold northern state, so that she can have something doing, and etc. And when she came, she was like, wow, and an angel told the mom, they allowed her, she was staying with the guy's sister or cousin or something. And after a while, the guy started coming to where she worked, and he would stay there morning, evening. And she's wondering, why is you don't have work, all those things. And she was thinking it's the love of God that just made that guy to do those things. Now, she didn't tell me earlier, I would have told her, because I know. So she came there, she said, we'll just come, and you want to be following her everywhere. She's wondering, when did this whole thing start? He's following her like security man. And the lady will go once in a while, she would travel to go and see her parents and come back one week in. And one of these times, once this season she left, and she was the only one at home. And the guy came, he knew. He came around 9, thereabout. And she made a call with her mom till 10. And she said, you're going to be around. He said, yeah, he will just spend the night. And she could not really pursue him because she knows he's the cousin's house and he connected. Do you understand? How do you start pursuing now? She tried to speak him to go in, but he didn't want. He began to look disrespectful, and she just said, okay. And so she slept far, and she couldn't sleep. Where one eye was open, and she was closer to the door. She said she climbed the bed. She slept at the door, strategic position. And in the middle of the night, he came close. She actually fell asleep at some point. And he started trying to touch her. And she said, "What's this?" I said, "Why are you avoiding me? You are not having my..." He started saying all those demonic things that I watch in Nollywood. And she now said, "I will shout!" She raised her voice. She now ran away. I went to the edge. He couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep. They were just watching themselves like this in the house. And when it was early in the morning, he left. She now knew that her days in that city was numbered. She was called, and he started, they now started calling her, "When will you leave our cousin's house? My cousin wants to have visitors. When are you leaving my sister's house?" The sister started calling, "When are you leaving my house?" They say, "It's time to leave. Blah, blah, blah. Please leave, I have visitor. Please leave, blah, 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 blah." Now she's in the middle of confusion. From there, okay, cousin, our uncle's house. Went there now. Mom, sister, something like mom, sister got married, yeah. And felt like that's home. And there was a room for her. And while she was there again, another problem emerged. I was just shaking my head when I was hearing the story. I pitied her so much. And she said, while she was sleeping, she observed people, she feels like someone comes to look at her. And she said that I don't think it's good for human consumption, public consumption. And so one of those days, she was trying to take her bath or something, and the person just came and was sleeping. And she just knew somebody was looking at her. So the person ran away and she pushed it. She now saw that it was the husband. She said, "Jesus Christ." She didn't know what to do. That means he's trying to have his way with her. So I ran away from the world. I came to family. It is the same thing. And she just gave up and said she was leaving. She's leaving this help she has found. And as she went back to wherever she came from. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just look at it. So confusing. Now, yeah, we can say the man is stupid, the boy is stupid. I agree with you. But more importantly, that's what the nature of sin can produce. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The nature of sin does not care that you... I'll tell you the truth. You'll be so surprised. A man just lost his wife and the next month he's womanizing. That's the power of the nature of sin. A lady just lost her father and she's still out there woman, doing... You know those days, we had an experience that made my spiritual father to say, "It seems this lady is happy her father died." I tell you the truth. Because he would stop them from going out. And when he got out, I think 2-3 days later, they saw her with one man in the barracks. She was spending the night there, one of the soldiers. And he really got offended. That's what the nature of sin can produce. The nature of sin knows that Benue State has the highest casualty for HIV and AIDS. Yet the nature of sin does not mind to sleep around. And let me be a little bit carnal without protection. That's how powerful and stupid the nature of sin can be. Like the way it's doing you, you just want to have it. You can't help yourself. That's how terrible that you are seeing danger, you are seeing fire, you want to choke your hand inside the fire. That's what the Bible says. To be carnally minded, they just left and say, "Forget about sin. It's death with that. It's just death." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know the wrong thing, yet you want to do the wrong thing. And why you are hearing, why you are struggling all of these things on your inside? What's her name? The wonderful woman of God, Joyce Meyer, wrote a book called, she called this experience the battlefield of the mind. While this battle is happening on your inside, when you go to church, the only thing you hear is, there is no explanation of scriptures. And you just kneel down with your nature of sin and stand up and bow your head and do like this and go to one small section of the church and do like this and you go back home, you still want to do the bad things. Do you understand? With your nature of sin, the only way to come out of sin is that there's a time for you on a Saturday, you just press your nose and you just dip you and you just come and say, that's what you think, because the water will enter your eyes more, you think you are seeing something great. Get back home. And I just said, maybe you hear you come up. When I went that case, oh God, this is bad. Is that somewhere that just had baptism in the morning? So all of these things are not remedies. They are only pointers to the Christ, shadows, waiting for the original to come so that it will end. So Christ is the end of. I'll tick this box now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Are you guys understanding me? very important. Christ is the end of the law. In other words, when we get to understand Christ, forget all of the Judaistic practices. Forget them. They can be reigning till Christ comes. In fact, Paul spoke to us in Hebrews 10:9 or 9:10. Alright, you'll find in one of these places. 10:9, 9:10. That's how you should write it in your church. 10:9 or 9:10. And if you can help us so that we are very sure, please. They say, who gave you this kind of quotation? Say it's pastor. Simon. Alright, 9. Okay, today I remember forever. 9:10. 9:10. Alright, so let's start from verse 9. You know, I don't know when this will start more this thing that used to blink eye. This thing that used to... You people like this guy? Huh? Go to verse 8. See now. Go to verse 8. I don't know when they started this, you know. But when I'm passionate, I want to read something there. It will now blink eye. Like, you want me to forget this revelation? It says the Holy Spirit indicating that the way into the holiest of all was not yet what made manifest. While the word. So the reason why it was still standing was because the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the experience, isn't it? As per our scripture. Verse 9. It was symbolic for the present time in which both what gives and what sacrifices are what symbolic for the present time are offered, which cannot even make him who what perform the service perfect in regards to what the conscience. Many you do them, but you still know you are not okay. Next part of scripture, verse 10. All of those things were concerned only with what foods and what drinks and what various portions. Food, what kind of food to eat those days? Those were the laws. What kind of drinks to drink? You know, various washings, you know, including baptism washing, you know, and fleshy ordinances imposed unto the time of what? Reformation, which we just spoke about in verse 8, remember? It was an indication that all of the old practices were what? Which are symbolic of the present time, were existing because the way to the holiest of all was not yet revealed. So they were standing because Jesus was not revealed. Now that Jesus is revealed, should they be standing? No. That's why the Bible says Christ, the revelation of Christ, is the end of the law. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you now? Very important. So all of those things cannot change anybody. This is what Paul was thinking in his heart when he said, I speak to them that know the law. He said, he now told them the purpose of the law. Just to show a sinner how sinful he is, not to solve the sin's problem. He said, when I was like you, I know that I'm sold under the nature of sin and death. Go back to Romans 7 from verse 14. Sin and death, you know, he said, I know I'm sold under the nature of sin and death. And he said in verse 15, let's see verse 15 very fast. And he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. So that simply means when somebody is in that realm, he does not really understand what is happening to him. He said, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. Meaning what I want to do. Meaning you see the sin, you say, I don't want to do this sin. It is this righteous act I want to do. He said, while I was living by the law, he said, the things that I want to do, the things I hate, I find myself doing it. He said, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, the things that I hate, that I do. That was their experience. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. If they were humble, they would have not been called hypocrites. But they were doing these things and they were still proud when they saw salvation. And people get what I'm trying to say. They were still proud. Not that God thinks everybody in this realm is a useless person. Mm-mm. But if you are in this realm yet, you are proud. You have destroyed yourself. That's why the end will always justify that you don't know Christ. You may be teaching a false doctrine even as a preacher. And between dark things and look good out there, as long as what you are saying is not the truth about Jesus, one day your secret will come out, because you don't have capacity to keep yourself in the faith. What can only keep you in the faith is revelation of the Christ. If you are not standing on this rock when the flood of this life beat you vehemently, which must happen to everybody, you will fall, because we are only on sinking sand. human wisdom. It sounds intelligent, but it's not truth. Are we together? It sounds so emotional, yet not truth. So you see, finally, even a preacher has failed. Why? They know a lot of things except Christ. And Satan knows that trick. He will make you to look at the Bible and boast with some kind of Bible, you know, understanding. But you don't know Christ, then he's excited. He's excited. And that's why when Satan saw a loophole somehow in a people who were blinded by religion, he emphasized the religion. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for blessed Derek Prince. I read a book years ago called Lucifer Exposed. It exposed my eye to a lot of things. I remember he made this statement. He said the greatest fortress for Satan is not sin, it is religion. And I saw it in the world. If the light in you be darkness, your darkness is the greatest darkness. Your darkness is even greater than darkness itself. I don't know if you guys get what I'm trying to explain. So darkness itself, actual darkness is not darker than religious darkness. So he said that religion is the greatest number one fortress for Satan. You are just running your life with some assumption for a solution. And after years, you just discover that you are not even actually living like a good Christian. You didn't actually have this power. You are 20 years in the faith, yet you see a lady in church, you want to sleep with the lady while you don't rest. Even as a preacher. And you are wondering, why am I this bad? It was because you have never applied the solution all these years. You have been standing on sinking sands. All these years. Are you listening to me? Very important. And that's why when Jesus came to his own, the Bible says his own, he was able to blind their eyes from Jesus. Even Jesus himself, his own received him not because of religion. He came to his own. God came to church. Church said, get out from this place. They couldn't receive him because of religion. And you think if they were religious those days and missed Christ, they'll be religious these days and not miss Christ? The Bible said, till this day, wherever Moses, religion is preached, a veil what? I taught this on Sunday. It is ignorance. I saw somebody explaining this, and I'm not saying it with anger. It's just the truth. The person said, Moses is a system. That is why his name was called a dispensation. The Bible said, wherever Moses. Now, if you look at it, was it a good experience after they called the name Moses there? That's what should make you understand that revelation is vain. The Bible says, wherever Moses is preached, veil covers people's eyes. Is that a good thing? So, you see, the aftermath justifies that that's not revelation. Alright? Moses there simply means Moses, not Christ. And God gave him the power to create laws. So, whatever he gave the people was what he thinks. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That doesn't mean Moses did not hear God at some junction. And the Bible did not say whatever Moses heard from God. The Bible said, whenever Moses himself is being what? Get it. That inside Moses is contained Moses and what Moses heard from God. So the Bible did not say Moses in totality plus what he heard from God. The Bible is saying Moses outside what he heard. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain. So wherever it's been preached, emphasized, a veil still covers people's eye. In other words, when you preach human wisdom that is independent of God, you are limiting the people. There will be a veil. Don't preach Moses. Preach what? The word of God. Don't preach yourself, I mean. Preach the word of God. And that's why the Bible says to us in Colossians 2, I think 2, 8, 9, 10, that we should not be held captive by human philosophy. Alright? In fact, it says something like this in the NLT's rendition of Amplified. It said, high sounding, sounds so intelligent, but it's still nonsense. That we should not be held captive by it. Are you here this wonderful evening? Glory to God forevermore. Are you understanding me? So somebody now is now within this entangled within this confusion, and all we are doing is religious stuffs in church, kneeling down, buying down, getting into water point, anointing oil, and no one is changing. And for years it seems as if Satan is prevailing, he's stronger. But remember the parable of the leaking roof. It is because we have applied the wrong measure for a solution towards that, you know, dealing with that leaking roof issue. And that is why water kept on entering, Satan kept on penetrating the church. And after a while, we saw that Satan has done one kind of great thing in the church. Not because he achieved that in that day, but because over the years, he was penetrating little by little. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I can apply this to something I've been saying. That Satan, the Bible describes Satan as a serpent. He likes to creep. He creeps into situation. He creeps into system. he'll just come small. Enter. You give him small space, he enter. Doing things like a thief. If you find a place, you enter, hide, enter, hide. We're giving space. At a point, people say, we're in the ring. We did not talk. He entered. Got to the second year. Thank God for Paul, Pastor Paul at the Pharisee, that he's voicing out. He entered. It has come to, I know what that preacher, I am sure that preacher has experienced something that made him to come up blatantly and say that kind of thing. Are you forget I'm trying to explain to you? Huh? Small now, we have gone to the point of tattoo. A Christian is talking with God every day and stands up from God and say, I beg, draw God for this place. The Bible says, God promising the promise of a new creation. It says, I'm going to raise the people for myself, that no one needs to teach them what is wrong from right. Therefore, I'll put my laws in their hearts. He's going to tattoo his laws in our heart, and people are tattooing on their flesh. He never said flesh. Are people getting what I'm trying to explain? He never said flesh. Quote me anywhere, even if I'm not on the earth. No teaching in the world, whether you are angry or not, I don't care. No teaching in the world can ever justify a believer. I'm not talking about somebody who used to be in tattoo before he received Jesus. That case is different. I'm talking about a believer stands up from the church to go and do tattoo. You are out of your mind. You are not thinking right. Quote me anywhere in this world. You are not thinking right. You are not sound. And I think people have to start coming out and voicing out the word of the Lord. See, what is... Now, let me give you a perspective. How dangerous do you think disrespect to somebody like this is to the effect of his action against a generation? Which one do you think has a greater effect? Which one? Not actually disrespecting, but I believe some people would have actually taken the opportunity to disrespect him. And I'm not doing the same. But that it was her that disrespected such a person, than maybe both of us are not on the earth again, and we see a generation adhering to that perspective, giving into that perspective, even though he's no more. Which one is worse? Of course, the second. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And it will never look nice and understandable when God raises a voice and says, speak against that evil thing that happened. God will not come down from heaven to say, that thing you say is wrong. In the book of Ezekiel, he showed us, he will raise another prophet to talk against a false thing that is said about another prophet, that is said by another prophet. That's how God does his work. Are you listening to me? That why Zedekiah was telling the king, I see you going to take over Rehob Gilead, but nobody can touch you. Micaiah, who is the right prophet here? I think it's Micaiah, right? Micaiah stood up in the fire of the Holy Ghost and said, oh king, I heard the word of the Lord. If you go, you die. A prophet said, go, God is with you. Another one stood up, head of prophet. He said, go. There's no Christian. Sorry. He said, go to the Lord. He's with you, O king. But the younger one said, there is Christian, sorry, go and you die. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? And the Lord give you understanding. Wherever you understand and stop there. Now what will you say? And now he understood even more perfectly. They say, Micaiah, how dare you speak a word for the king when I've given a word for the king? And Micaiah said, I mean no disrespect, dear prophet, or dear father of faith, and that doesn't mean you should disrespect nobody. Please get me, don't miss me. He said, for I was in a vision. What if Micaiah is in our generation? Some of us will call him stupid. He said, I was in a vision and I saw a lying spirit. He said, I saw a lying spirit came into the meeting and entered into your mouth. He's looking at it. Senior prophet, the spirit entered you particularly. I saw when he entered. The Bible said the senior prophet got offended, went to the king and said, go! If I be a prophet, you will come back. Now the question is, did the king come back? They even locked Micaiah up. Then last night they called him and gave him money, said prophesy. That simply means, it paints a picture that the people accepted to prophesy, you know, they prophesy for the king because he gives them something. Because he showed his character with what? He knew, I've been giving them and they are saying what I want to hear. When it came to Micaiah, he rejected it so that he can prophesy well. So listen, if you don't reject the government's money, you will not say there is Christian genocide. Oh my God. Libo Sufres Cafelia Elomish. Are you here? Yeah, I said it. Oh my God. I don't want to get into this topic so well. I was watching some videos. I think Betty Donald, they saw me in my house, Courage. Watching some video. I just said, just come and see something. The man of God, Reverend Dachumo, buried even today. I think he buried today. Was it yesterday we were watching it? Yeah. He buried his family, over 7 of his family members, extended family, where he grew up. He said, they came and targeted only his family members. Finish them. I said, listen to, I told him, listen to his voice. He couldn't shout. He was talking so calm. I said, they say he has been sick for a while now. He can't even raise his voice again. And he's still voicing out. The government is wicked. The government is wicked. Christian, Muslim. Do you know this Muslim ticket? They are still selling it. And there are some men of God who think it's okay. And he said, God, blah, 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 blah. That's fire. Coming out from that man of God. That man has the liberty to travel. They said they gave him the opportunity to travel out of the country with his family. He refused. He said he wants to die with his people in Nigeria. That if they are able to kill him one day, let him die and let them bury him in this land. You see that how he won a Nobel Prize with Christians in Africa recently. I don't think he even went there. He didn't go to collect it. He's still in the country. He's still in jobs. He's still in his house. He has not changed location. You want to tell me I should not fear such a man? I should not respect such a man? It seems as if in Nigeria there is no God with what is happening this season. I tried to curtail this thing. I've tried all my best. And I found that I was being more stupid for not talking. And that's why I began to speak. Now, there are some people that they keep their identity on the line. They can say anything that they believe in with their identity on the line. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Someone can come out and prove tithes to be right. Like, I don't care what you think. Somebody can come out and tell you, if you like, don't do this prosperity gospel. Jesus died because he was poor. Jesus died because the disciples did not bury him well. They can say all those kind of things with their identity on the line. But no one can come and say, Tinibu, you are not ruling well. God is angry with you. Nobody can say that. Is Tinibu really well? Even dogs. Today I was talking to myself. Even dogs know that they have a bad government in Nigeria recently. Some of you have your dogs. They are almost dead. Dogs know. Talk to me, church. I went somewhere and I saw dogs. I said, Jesus Christ. The dogs are almost dying. Even chicken now, free rice, no day again. Those days you cook rice, or you do some, or you now pour it in, and now people are somehow trusting God to remove everything. Nothing used to remain at the pot again. Where are these food going to? Chickens are dying anyhow. Mama thinks chickens dying. People died yesterday night. What have we not seen in this? He died. Rest in peace. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's no kind of wickedness we are not seeing. Yet, it's as if somebody Tinibu is doing well, it's as if the person is not in this country. He's not doing well. Yet, there's no prophet who the Lord. See, they are attacking money. God will move through the help of somebody. Son of Paul says the Lord. I don't care what you think. He speaks of the Lord. People are dying. Something in scripture that God did not allow anybody to come for him. When he had to do with death, God himself came and said, Paul, where are you going to? Something as serious as that. God cannot move people to speak against the government. Something is wrong in this country. People of God, I don't care how you see it. We need a revival in this nation. A serious revival. Some people may think I'm very stupid, though. Listen, I heard somebody talking, and I don't care anybody that thinks I'm. I heard somebody talking. I did not post it because some of my pastor friends will start thinking whether I'm mad. His name is Daily Something. He said something that struck my heart. He said he wrote a recent book saying he does not write for this generation again because he thinks this generation is stupid. He said he writes for another generation that will look at him and say, "You tried." Whether it's in heaven, they'll just say, "You tried." We are proud that at least somebody like you was upon the face of the earth that said the truth. He said he does not understand why we'll be quiet in church. And I'm going to let it out here. Why people are dying every day. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Are you people here? You are scared of replying me. So that they will not carry you and me. That we're in church. People are dying. Dying every day in the country. The only thing we are ready to come and do is crusade. After they kill, we will not create crusade as they light up Makodi. Which light? Then you cannot tell the government that you are doing well. What will lie? People who are already dead. Then some of them is to come and share a bag of rice. See, it's the greatest form of insult that they kill people. You are coming to share a bag of rice. You did not even talk to the government. See, it's as if they look at you like chicken, like useless person. You have impetus. Today, thank God for what the Idoma people do. Did I am very excited. People died. You came there. You are sharing money. What is wrong with us in this country? I want to donate the sum of. Why are you sweet? Before you know, it's palliative. It's high time we start rejecting this rubbish. Thank God for what the Idoma people are doing. More of it, please. Thank God for all that ruler said. He said, push all of them 24 hours. Leave this. Leave it. Before there was government, there was Ochi Idoma. You will not understand what I'm trying to say. You all see all these presidents you are seeing that are coming to disrespect traditional rulers. Let me tell you, before they started existing, traditional rulers were existing. The Ochi Idoma seat is bigger than the governorship seat in this. He has been existing before the governor. The Totib have been existing before the governor. They should tell us what to do. We'll follow them. We don't want democracy again. Tell your people. The truth is that since God now is legalized by God, it was a treaty. I heard the deputy governor went there and was saying, don't worry, the government will defend you. The government will defend you. What I'm preaching is what Jesus preached. He told people to go and preach. They were going to follow one bad road. He said, come, which road is that? Okay, sell that. Buy knife. If God told you to buy weapon. I did not tell which type to buy. I just say buy weapon. Be led by the Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We got to be careful. Look at the thing happening in our nation. I was telling the agenda. Who knows whether full of people are outside my gates now? We don't even know what is happening in this country. Maybe they are outside now. You just go outside, wheel, everybody is just wheel, everybody is going. They say at the edge of the welfare quarters extension where they just don't understand the situation, you just see them carry their bag. They are coming to inside welfare quarters. Somebody cannot even stay in his land, his hometown. He will pay money to a Fulani man to farm. Then we have governor. I'm president. To farm your farm, where your great grandfather, everybody, you will pay. I heard one, they were going to bury somebody. The Fulani men said they will have to pay to go and bury the man in his village. So they had to go with security, armed security man. Now, burial is harder than before. Because you have to load a battalion of police or soldiers to follow you. So that there will be no double burial that day. You are buried now, you still have to bury Shasha. And that day now, imagine they kill you. You have to bury Shasha because you have to come back again. It's so sad. And somebody will sit in Abuja and Lagos and say, the president is trying. He's not trying, sir. You are not in Benue. You are not in Kogi. You are not in Jos. Come and sit. Come and stay here. He's not trying. Maybe they don't know. We should tell them, isn't it? They don't know. They honestly don't know, isn't it? It's not like we are trying to disrespect. They don't know. He's not. We in Benue know we live by faith. That redefinition of we live by faith is we live by faith. It's not you see people just running. Hey, 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 what is happening in that place? Oh, they don't come. People in town now, you just see one car now. People are plenty. Say, now demo, check that car. For you know, boys have put roadblock. Why are you people plenty in Villa Sud like this? Where will they go? And if you are not careful, the people are with weapons. Hallelujah to Jesus. So like Micaiah said, what will make you to keep quiet to injustice is a lying spirit. And it prevails when you receive the gifts of the king. It prevails when you what? Receive the gift of a king. You cannot bite the hand that feeds you, they said now. And secondly, how did the Bible put it in the book of Proverbs? A man's gifts. Are you listening to me right now? So let me end with this as we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Alright. You know, I have to just get this perspective right because I started it so that on Sunday we just round up this section. We've been on this topic for 3 weeks now. Right? So I will start something. Now they grew up in church, they have Christians named, they are pastor students. Many of them genuinely love the Lord, and that is precisely what makes their bondage even so confusing to them. They are living Romans 7 without knowing it has a chapter 8. The things they don't want to do, they find themselves doing. The things they hate, they find themselves doing. Their problem is not the absence of desire. Their problem is that what they had does not have the capacity to what? Liberate them. You cannot fight the pull of Satan with the sermon that was only rules. You cannot break an addiction with a doctrine that has only inherited. They were handed religion. Behave, attend, perform. That's religion, isn't it? Confess on Saturday. And religion is a parched roof. It informs the mind, but it cannot deliver the man. So when the pressure came, they did what any sincere person on a sandy foundation will do. They collapsed. You see that? And then they concluded that they were the problem. Or worse, that God doesn't work. I've seen a lot of people like that. This Christianity, I beg. I know it. I try. I tire. I can't. Years ago, I almost started crying in jokes. I was seated on the campus. I shared the story here once. I went to see my friend Apostle Micah. So I was seated at one of the campus. There's a secondary school in First Camp in Jos, the main campus they call it. So I just sat down there waiting for him. He had a lecture those days. He was still schooling geography, and we had a meeting. He had a program, so he invited me. And while I was listening to that preacher, a young lady, she came to this guy. She was doing evangelism. That was a good one. And she came to this smoker, and the smoker was just smoking and looking at her. People smoke in that place at that time. I don't know if they stopped smoking. Peter, I went to sit there because it was quite conducive for me. The place was chill. And I was not familiar with the students, so I wanted to stay where people don't really know me, or, you know, just in a quiet place waiting for him. And I was hearing them, the conversation. He said, wait here. He said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And he kept on smoking. I said, if you talk to me, will I change? She said, yes. He now said, I've tried Jesus. He doesn't work. I've tried. I've received him. I thought I would stop smoking. He became worse. She now said, no. She now said, see, listen to me. If I listen to you now, will I stop smoking today? He said, no. He said, leave me alone. The guy is frustrated. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. It paints a picture that he loves the Lord. He asks a sincere question. If I start hearing you today, will I stop smoking? Now, what was the guy's problem? He's tired of being a what? A hypocrite. He just wants to live his life. To him, he thinks that smoking is all to him, the best of him. But the best of you can never be your sin. You know, there was this song that one time the choir sang. The enemy is trying to make you believe that your sin, your past, is who you are. That the mistakes you made from yesterday is all that you can ever be. And that's why when you sin, he comes to remind you, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. He reminds you. He puts a stamp on it and says, that's the only thing that can come out from you. But that's not you. You are just in a realm where, you know, you're just confused. And religion is not the solution. Are you listening to me? Jesus is the solution. It doesn't matter how the church is decorated. If Jesus is not known, nothing can happen to the people. Because he's the way, he's the word, truth, and he's the life. You can look all beautiful and nice and have wonderful music, but if you don't know your place in Christ, you are standing on sinking sand. It will be said one day that minister that we thought was this, then he now became that. It will be said one day. No matter how sincere you are at the status quo, even as a Christian, that's why sometimes we're heartbroken by some news we hear. Like one time on campus, when I heard one news, it broke my heart. I thought this man was a very disciplined Christian. Until one day I heard something he did. Because while I was there, by God's special grace, well, I don't know everybody, but anybody that I know who comes to our church as a lady and have a problem with a lecturer, I always confront the lecturer as a student. Until one day, I dared this lecturer. She threatened me. Thank God we are good people now. We are friends. And I wanted to go and report him to the HOD or something. One high-ranking official. And they said, I should just leave. So when I went, I said, wasn't that person? They now tested me this one now. Even him too, ladies, favoring ladies, scratch my back, I scratch your back. With evidence, my mind was blown. I said, And the person is religious. I just remember Romans 7. It doesn't matter the denomination you follow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Whether it's whatsoever holiness movement or that righteousness movement, it does not matter. If you are not standing on Christ, you will find yourself doing the things you are not supposed to do. So what is the solution? It is not jumping, shouting, you know, doing like you want to tear your flesh. You see this flesh, it has no fault. One fault this flesh don't have. It's a faithful servant. Very faithful servant. What controls the flesh is your thinking. The predominant thought in your life, the thinking that you are most conscious of, is what controls your flesh. That's why to solve this flesh problem, Jesus did not come, I want to cut your body. What did he come? He came as the word, because he knew that it is as the word he can solve any problem. And the word there in Greek is logos. He came as a school of thought. Knowing that if you begin to think like him, on the strength of the ultimate instruction he has given and principles in the book of Proverbs, that as a man thinketh in his word, so is he. That's why he came as the word. Because if you start, if you get him, if you understand God, alright, what will happen is that your spirit man, the reality of your spirit man, will intertwine with the flesh through this understanding. That's what the Bible says, through this, the understanding of this great and precious promise, something happened. Our spirit connected with our body. At this point now, we became partakers of his divine nature. Not just that our spirit, this first Peter here, is going beyond just being saved in your spirit. He said we are saving our spirit. But through the understanding of God's precious, understanding is where? In this soul. He said then we become partakers of the divine nature. And that is why the fruit of that teaching is in the flesh. He said, and we escape the corruption that is what? Through what? It is understanding that will bring your body into the reality of your spirit. And that is why, listen, people of God, you can travel everywhere. You will still arrive here finally. I tell you the truth, nothing is as powerful as revelation. I want to say something to you very sincere. I want you to take this so strong before we close. No matter what you are doing for God in the church, and no matter how influential you are in the world, there will come a point that you will not be excited with your life, with yourself, if you find out that you are compromising God. Because there's always eternity. It is so alive in the heart of men. At that point, when you begin to, you know, when you are interfaced with this understanding, I'm saying this kind of ideology that I'm talking about right now, you will not be excited with yourself. You begin to feel weary. How can I be preaching and be doing this? How can I be singing? Satan knows how to bring you to that point. And a few times it can be God trying to help you. But when you feel condemned, it's the devil. But if you are doing it, you are actually doing it. Whether God is speaking or Satan is doing, speaking. Sometimes people are applauding you, but you know that something is not right. If you really love yourself, hold on to the truth of God's word. Do the things that matter. Matter. Your name may be matter, but you're not doing what matters. One thing is more important. Sit at the master's feet while he's speaking. While he's speaking, don't be moving. Are you listening to me? One thing. You are trying to cook food for Jesus. You always know who are serious. Jesus came from a journey. They are cooking him food. He says, sit down here. What are you doing? Lord, I'm singing for you in all the nations of the earth. I want to go and preach for you. They cook food for Jesus. He said, sit down. He sit down after the preaching. Go and cook for me. Let me eat. Your own is nothing compared to cooking for somebody. If you have two people, one is cooking you food, one is singing for you, which one will you prefer? Now, music, you go chop. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a sit down. That's also the time when you tell gospel singers, sit down. They are very scared of sitting down. They want to block our shine. A lot of times you stand up, you want to be rebellious like others. You don't even know the life of those people. And I'm not trying to condemn them. I'm sure they are wonderful people that God is using. But be sure of your own life more than anybody's life. Be comfortable. You'll be more confident in yourself when you are doing what is right. Not because you are not comparing your life with another person up there. What if they are up there? There's somebody more up than them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And the truth is that it is we that think they are up there if they are not up there. There's what we call the white throne seat judgment. It's called the judgment of works. Fear that more than anything in this world, where every man's work will be tested. At the end of that judgment, if you don't get this proclamation, well done, faithful. It is only that well done that it is the most important well done in this world and the world to come. You can start getting that well done right now if you are doing what he wants you to do. For as many as are world, they are what? Die to human applaud. Die to it if you want to grow in the things of God. If you want to carry weight in the realm of the spirit, die to everything human. Die to human beings' opinion. I've come to that point in my life. God knows. If you are careful enough, you would have discerned. I don't care about anything. I've come to that point in my life. Maybe there was a time, and I tell you the truth, I always thank God that actually God wanted me to come to this point. Sometimes God will allow something so that you come to a point where you are just on the rock. At that point, when I hit that point, when I remember I was praying, I said to myself, nothing moves me. I knew I touched something in the realm of the spirit. I feel nothing again. If Satan has something in your heart that is making you, you know, if you are scared, Satan has something in your heart that he'll be using like a remote to control you. For fear is a snare. He knows what you are scared about, and he will make sure they come to pass. Job said, what I fear has come upon me. Are you listening to me tonight? I respect everybody. If you watch my life, you know that. Down to anybody I've never met in my life. But I don't fear anybody. I only fear God. And that is why I'm not scared of saying the truth. You may think I'm lying to you. If I say the truth even about politics, if the governor wants to kill me, he should kill me fast. Because to me, there is no essence for living if I cannot say the truth. The day I can't say the truth again, I am died. Just know that I'm not in this world again. And nobody should cry for me because it's useless. And if God wants me to die, that's when I will die. I can't die because a man wants me to die. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But as long as I'm alive, I must say the truth. As long as I'm alive, I must say the truth. So love truth. Prophet Kobu says, if you love your life, you will love truth. Because nothing can be done against but for the truth. You may disagree with truth today. You may disagree with us today. But finally, nothing can be done against but for the truth. You come to that point, and I wish it's not going to be 20 years later, because it will be stupid of you. Where you say, what I heard 20 years ago was actually the truth. The Lord bless His word in our heart. Bow your heads and pray. Tell the Lord to help you this wonderful evening. Father, thank you for this holy moment. Today I wholly surrender unto you. As I am caught in this holy surrender, everything that is not you, replace it what it's supposed to be. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and begin to pray. Whoosh! Kadosh, we worship you. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, we worship you.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.